Our workshop this morning deals with the trial of divorce and the challenge to trust God and to serve Him in every circumstance. And I'd like, just before we do start and hear Joyce, for each of us to bow our heads and to close our eyes and to especially ask God to be with each of us with the problems that we might have in our own lives, and then to especially be with Joyce as she seeks the peace and the confidence and the assurance that only He can give as she talks to each of us this morning. Let's pray silently. Our dear Heavenly Father, we just thank You for each person that is present this morning, and You know every need and every heart. And Lord, we thank You for Joyce, that she is willing to share her life with each of us so that we might be able to seek Your will and Your guidance in our lives. We pray, Lord, that You'll give her the peace and the confidence and the assurance that only You can give in everything that she says this morning. We thank You for her life and what is meant to those of us that know her. Be with us now through this morning, we ask in Thy name. Amen. I'd like to give you that Joyce Carrington. I have one over there watching me. She's already given me instructions what to do. She's in public relations in Dallas, my youngest daughter. I'm supposed to come up here poised. I'm supposed to slowly get everything out.
You'll do well.
And I'll probably get a report card after this. I'm used to giving them, though, Mitzi, not receiving them. So if you do, be patient, loving, be very generous with me, because I try to be to my students. I don't know where to start other than in God's Word. And I just want to read a few of the Psalms, because people want to know, well, how do I serve You now, Lord? But it's, what do I do right now? What have I done in the past? What can I do? You're always asking questions, wanting to know what we'll do. Well, the only thing that I can tell you to do is to go to God's Word. I would like to start off also with an illustration. In serving the Lord, my home being a place where I do serve Him through it, this happened about, right at the end of the summertime, and I have a lovely home with a swimming pool. There are many single people today who do not have a swimming pool. So I invited some of my friends in my Sunday school class to come out and just enjoy a Saturday. It was nothing really planned, just to come out, enjoy relaxing. You know, they really don't do that. Through the years, I had seen this girl in our church in the singles department, and really back then, there were very few in the department. I had been asked to come and substitute a Sunday school class that one day, and I don't remember what the Sunday school lesson was all about or anything, but this day, sitting, and this girl has later had a nervous breakdown. She is now in our state institution in Mandeville, Louisiana. And as we were sitting at the table, and the girls had just brought her from a local hospital, we were sitting around the table, and she's very withdrawn, and you just wonder what's going through her mind. You know, here all are we here with so much health. God has blessed us in so many ways. And we're sitting around my table. And She had not said one thing that whole afternoon. But at the table, she looked at me and she said, I remember you teaching my Sunday school class. And really, you know, I didn't remember. But she did. She said, you know, you read from the Living Bible, the 23rd Psalm, and you said, because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And she quoted it just beautifully. The only thing she said that day, our ministry is where we are. How we serve the Lord is daily where we are. And it just doesn't start at where you are at divorce or wherever you are hurting. It really started with me years and years ago. It started with me being created in God's image. I was His. And I was born to my mother and dad were most wonderful people in the world. And I've learned this in the last, really, 4 years or 5 years, how much they do mean to me. I was born in Alabama. I'm the oldest of four daughters. I have four children, three daughters and one son. I grew up in a very small town. I've heard all these Texas towns, and I tell you, nobody's ever heard of mine, but while I'm in New Orleans and people talk about Chapatoulas and Delachey and Conti and all of our French names, which when I went there I had really never had any French. I've been around these people. I really showed no qualifications as a reading teacher, which I am today, and still need lots of help with that. But anyway, we were raised very poor. Daddy started off with nothing. And I can remember the wonderful Christmases very vividly, whereas Mother and Daddy made our Santa Claus. And I think the vivid memories of even going back to the times that I would leave Mother and Daddy, I remember the two younger children, as we were going to our neighbors, you know, for the doctor to come to the house to deliver my sister and my brother. And so I have many wonderful small-town memories. Mother and Daddy did the very best they could for me. They gave me a heritage which I am very, very thankful for. And they have loved me, they've loved me, and they've loved me, as all parents I know do or should. I better retract after seeing the children I work with today, though. But anyway, as time goes on and growing up, I did not have much church training. My church training really was, in the summertime, revival meetings. I remember very, very vividly my salvation experience. But after that experience, I did not have the growth that I needed to grow in Him. So as time evolves and I go off to and if you've ever heard my ex-husband give his testimony, you probably know the story of me meeting him in the ninth grade and how he elected me, you know, nominated me as president of the ninth grade, and here I was the president. And of course it wasn't very many there. And there were six of us who went from my little consolidated town into this. And I think there were 10 in my graduating class. So it really, but I was a new girl, and it was fun being a new girl. And so he remained there in school 2 years. And, of course, if you'd heard of the testimony, he went home and told his mother he was in love with me and all this, you know. And she said, oh, that's puppy love. And he said, but it's real to the puppy, you know. I've heard that testimony so many, many times. And so anyway, goes on. Lots of things happen. We never were going together at Christmas time. my girly Christmas things were, you know, evening in Paris that my uncle had sent me from the drugstore where he worked. And that was good. So I still never had those real Christmas presents in high school, you know, from a boyfriend. Because we were conveniently, I guess, broken up at that time. I don't know. But anyway, as time goes on, he goes off to Marin Military Institute. This is part of God's plan for my life, I know. He goes to Marin Military Institute and gets involved in football, scholarship to Auburn. Well, he lasted, you know, through spring practice and hurt, and over at Montevallo. I was at the girls' college there in Montevallo, Alabama. And so 2 years there, you know, was sort of enough. And I moved on to the University of Alabama, not knowing that he had gone in the Navy, you know, and coming back. And there we met again at the University of Alabama. And then in my junior year, we married, and it was his freshman year, and he was in pre-med. After we married, I dropped out of school to start to work. Now, at the time, I really didn't need to work, but I wanted to work. You know, I wanted to drop out of school and do all those things people were doing, because at the time we had mother and dad were willing to support me. His parents were him, and the GI Bill of Rights, if you know what that was. We had all of these things, really. Everything that we needed. But every time I would go home to my mother, she would say, "Why aren't you in school? When are you going back?" Well, finally, after about a year, I was sick and tired of hearing that, so I went back to school. And after three more years here, I finally graduate in 1950 with a BS in microbiology, hoping to go on and get my certification in medical technology. And actually, I didn't know what medical technology was all about coming from the town where I came from. I had really only heard of medical technologists, you know, and it really sounded good to go along with a doctor. But anyway, there was different things. Every time I would get 8 months on my 12 consecutive months of internship, I'd get pregnant. And you didn't have the devices that you have now. We sure weren't very smart, you know. But anyway, I have now two daughters. They were born in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. And soon after, while we were at the university, we became a part of the world. I had been in the Baptist church, and, you know, when I married, it didn't matter with me, you know. He was Methodist, so I joined the Methodist church with him. I always had this longing, you know, especially with a mother, wanting to do the right thing. And I praise the Lord for that. We were members of the Methodist church in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, had our daughters christened. That was beautiful. I never could understand, you know, why we did it, but it was really nice that we did, you know. And that was the thing that we were supposed to do. And as we get more and more into the world, and our lives were just not what I wanted anyway. It was horrible. But anyway, the Lord saw us through, and we move on to, and if you've heard the testimony too, we moved on to Chickasaw, Alabama, where he became employed with an insurance company. And so there, it's just wonderful how the Lord just puts Christians in your lives. In Tuscaloosa, Alabama, it was his aunt. In Chickasaw, I never shall forget living in that little apartment, and underneath us lived a couple who belonged to the First Baptist Church right there in the neighborhood. They were building a home, and so they were living here, and we were living on top of them. And I never will forget Dot beating on those, beating on those walls, trying to get us to be quiet, the baby, you know, all these things, and that just bugged me no end. There was a Christian there. She was later to become a very dear part of my life. During that time, I wanted. I knew there was something out there. I knew I needed more. And I remember just pleading with God for it. And so the Lord led a lady in a village where he was to collect insurance from, who started praying. He became very successful in his insurance there and then went on to start his own. There another Christian man was there. And I never shall forget that one night we had them going out to dinner with them. And he would look at Bob and he'd say, "What you need is the Lord." That was it. The Lord. It wasn't but a few months later that he was saved. And I tell you that the first two or three months after he was saved was really worse than the time before. And remember, the only thing that had kept me from really divorcing him was really the only scriptural training that I had had was in those revival meetings. And I knew that divorce was not of the Lord. It is not God's will. That was instilled in me. And I thank the Lord for it. And then that kept me. And to pride, I didn't share with my mother my heartaches and all those things, you know, and things were terrible. But then when he came in and said, "I found the Lord," you can imagine. I mean, it was natural for me to say, "I didn't know you were looking for him." I mean, it was just natural. Why should I believe that? You know. And then when he said, he said, "Well, you're a Christian. You're not a Christian." I said, "I am a Christian." I am, you know, and all that. So as time evolves, God gives me a great assurance through John 1:12 that for as many as received him, to them he gives you the power to become the sons of God. I was his. And when I realized that, I committed my life to him, to serve him. It was even before that that I knew that God had called him in to the ministry. I had no concept of what the ministry was all about. There had been no preachers in my family, but I was willing because I was his wife. And I wanted to be a submissive, yes, very submissive wife. I was so fortunate to be in a very good church, which really taught the gospel. I had a marvelous Sunday school teacher. And those things that I had in my life were not compatible with my Sunday school teacher. We could not go soul winning together until I found myself right, clean with the Lord, because he said that my body was the temple of God, and the least that I could, the most reasonable thing that I could do with it, would to be to sort of clean it up. Well, it had a lot of cleaning up to do. But I promise you, ladies, one of the hardest things, there are many hard things to clean up, but anyway, was my smoking. And, you know, I can't even believe I ever had a cigarette in my hand. The hardest thing, I just wish I had hours to tell you of those struggling days. But that's really not the important. It's the joy that the Lord Jesus Christ brings that's important today. My commitment was to Jesus Christ. I knew he was sufficient for all things. So it was natural for me to trust him I just pull little scriptures from everywhere, you know, and this is really what I've done for 5 years now. But when he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be added unto you. All his righteousness. So I did the best I could in a very feeble way. And I've been happy in my feeble way of obeying him, knowing that I've obeyed him, because I know he's blessed me from it. For it. Excuse me. Yes, we had lots of happy years. I really thought I had everything. I had two daughters who grew up in First Baptist Church. When we went there to seminary, we were led to the First Baptist Church as assistant pastor to Dr. J.D. Gray. And we were there 11 months in that position. And then later, Bob dropped out of seminary. And I remained. I had so much good gospel preaching. It served every need, really, that I had. During that time, I brought the girls up in everything. And at the time, we were seminarians, you know. So I had to work. It seems like my life has always been a whirlwind. I guess everybody's is. I don't know. I just know about mine. But I had started teaching back in elementary school back in Alabama, and so really liked it. Moved on to New Orleans. Needed a place to work. Had to support, you know. So I went to work in a public school there. It took 45 minutes to get there. The girls were beautiful, just so great, they were so obedient. I would leave early. They would stay home, you know, and go to school, come home, stay in the house until I got home, and all these things. So I felt like we really worked that out well. And they all went through all of the organizations of the church, which I'm so very grateful for, because there they had so much good training there. Then I never shall forget, oh, how the Lord is so good to us. I was expecting another child, and just had the most beautiful pregnancy anybody could ever expect to have. Just knew we would have the man-child, you know, and we did. We didn't keep him. We kept him only 8 hours, but during that time, I felt the emptiness, yet I had to be strength, you know, for my husband. I think sharing this little poem will just let you feel of how good the Lord is. I guess you recognize by now I'm a real Southern, and I'm trying to let you know that I'm not too much of a Cajun, too, because that's where I am really today, and I hope to tell you that later. But anyway, God gave us a promise. Knowing him, not just about him. Be still and know that I am God. Then from tears to smiles. You know, I have so many tears, but you know, I have more smiles. I don't know why it is when I get like this that I just tear. But from tears to smiles, you see the smile. The Lord is victorious, and I'm going to let you know that. There's a divine mission in every heartbreak. The disappointments we experience only tend to turn us to God. These sadnesses are only an interruption of our happiness, that we may come to know him, not just about him. And then we will never want to leave him, realizing all of the hours he has faithfully gone through with us. As the cares of life send us to him, time and again, we learn there is no heartbreak his love cannot heal. Truly, these are my sentiments to him who has supplied my need with his wonderful grace in the death of our little boy, little Robert Gray Harrington. That was in 65. I never will forget. And this is, ladies, the church. Now, we know the church as the body of Christ. But it is also a building to me because that's where my friends meet to worship the Lord. That night, Dr. Gray and my husband went. Where? But to find my children. Where else would they be on Friday night? Where else would my husband be other than preaching? But to take off of that, Dr. Gray and my husband went to the gymnasium at the church. And ladies, it's been at the church where I've gotten so much of my strength. You don't find it in the world. It breaks my heart to work with single people today who come looking for excitement. But it's not really the excitement that we really have there, but it's what they need. So there's so, people are so mixed up today. And I'm seeing that more and more. You know, I've just really been a single person. What, Metsy? Isn't it wonderful when we get to be with the Lord? This is not going to be Sunday, Monday, or, you know, get up on Monday. Isn't that going to be fun? You know, and two, I know you're getting anxious for the answers. I don't have all the answers. I know there's so many hurting out there. The world is hurting. But unless we who claim the name of Jesus Christ is obedient to Him, the world will never know it. Yes, you know probably the ministry. I wish I could tell you many things about it, but just last night we were with a young man who was saved in a Clemson, South Carolina revival. Would you know he's Mr. Cook? What's his first name? Sam Cook. Oh, as I go, do you know, it's unreal how the ministry continues to live because he is victorious. He's the one. His ministry will forever live. I'm trying to get up to divorce because I know you're waiting to hear all my answers, but I don't have them. Other than I can tell you, I can start, you know, you say, well, what, I don't know. What to tell you? Other than, you know, I can think of the Psalms, you know, the heart running from water bed to water bed looking for that drink, you know. I've been thirsty and I found it. It's just living, you know, daily. I had so much at the time of, and it's very difficult for me to share because I have a husband, ex-husband who's living. I would do nothing in the world to offend him. So you see the strain that I'm under. But that's all right. The Lord can take care of that too. But anyway, we had our daughters went on, you know, graduated from high school. Very popular. Mitzi and her debating. Oh, it was so much fun. I had worked, see, until 1969 when I retired for good, you know, forevermore. And I retired so I could have that 1 year with Rhonda, her senior year in school. And really, I got her through that year because if I had not lived a half mile from the school and was at her beck and call, she would have never made it. Then, and Mitzi came along, and well, Rhonda left, and I told Mitzi last night, I said, honey, you know, you are really the one who knows me best, humanly, you know. You've been with me more. We were together 2 years by ourselves just right there in New Orleans. Dad would come home, you know, as an evangelist sometimes. We had so many wonderful times together, so many, many. And then they go off to Balaam, and everything's just perfect. You know, they have these big, beautiful weddings in New Orleans, and everything is just wonderful. Before I get to that, I want to share a little of my sermon. You see, here are my notes. I hadn't found them yet, but it wouldn't do any good, Mitzi, if I found them. I couldn't really keep up with them. Now, I'm a school teacher, and I teach outlining and all that, sixth graders, you know. But that's all right. But anyway, where am I, Lord? Well, he'll let me know that too, just a moment. But anyway, when we went to First Baptist Church, I'd committed my life to him, to serve him. So I began work with the intermediates, and let me say this, I don't know how many preachers' wives we have in here, but I'm one who learned my New Testament doctrine in training union. If it had not been for a training union, I would not have learned doctrine. Now, I don't go to training union today. I don't know why. You know, it's these topics, and I go, and I'm nobody, you know. You go around counting heads who all's in church, and you know how we do ministerially speaking, you know. You wonder how many there. Well, anyway, I did. It worked with intermediates. And then when I quit work, then I had to, you know, sort of rearrange my life. Well, not really, until Mitzi left and that emptiness came. And you've read more about the emptiness than I have, but I sure felt it. You know, that time I was able to go into an area of work that I had not worked in, but yet I had believed in it very much, because both of the girls had gone through all the GA, and that was Queen Regent in service and all that at that time, Mitzi. And so anyway, I changed my church role, and I accepted WMU director. I was WMU director at the time that I found out that's enough. That was in 1975 on November the 3rd. I got to go back, though. Got these girls married and everything. It was wonderful, you know, having those sons-in-laws and working in the church and running back and forth to Baylor, you know, as that proud parent, you know. And people would ask me, well, how many hours are you taking here, you know, and that. But and then I'd run back to New Orleans and do my responsibilities there with WMU during the middle of the week. Just, you know, was really ready. I just received so much from serving there. I just cannot tell you. It was November the 3rd, 1975, after I had just come home from a beautiful day of prayer with the Baptist World Alliance Day, when they all met in our church. And it was my responsibility to sort of get them all together, you know, and coordinate all of this. And it had just been a glorious day, and I had come home. God had given us our home in 1968, paid for it in 19 months with a first record. And so anyway, I was sitting there just reflecting, and the phone rang, and it was a very godly person who, I know God was all in it. The next year was very difficult. I could not understand what God was doing. I just couldn't. But in the meantime, Mitzi was finishing up at Baylor then. Her husband had gone to work with, well, first of all, I could not believe my oldest daughter's husband, who is Chuck Kelly from Beaumont. I mean, he's a Texas Baptist, if you have ever... Well, he was, isn't he? He was a Texas Baptist. But anyway, all the time I had thought, Lord, he does not need to go to Southwestern. All he knows about is the Texas Baptist. And he needs to know where it's, you know, really at. And it is. So it's been beautiful. I could not believe here they are in New Orleans. God brought them there, went into the ministry now as Minister of Outreach. And Rhonda finished up her her internship at Children's Hospital in Speech Therapy. If I don't finish, I want to tell about them too. At the present time, she is working in speech therapy at Ashna Foundation Hospital in a communication role, developing a department there. And Chuck has just been, and Mitzi asked me last night, I said, Chuck, give me what I sent you? I said, Chuck, give me what I, no, what'd you send me? This was from homecoming. And she said, well, I sent something to you by him. I said, no, he took his orals on Tuesday, remember, after homecoming. You don't think of a pair of hose, you know. A man doesn't anyway, I'm sure then. But anyway, I had this heavy heartache, you know, knowing what was going on. God was had brought Chuck and Rhonda there. Then God brought Mitzi and her husband there. He is business manager. Well, Mitzi stayed in Baylor and graduated. Mitzi came, and when graduation came in May, this God works. I don't know what he's doing, but I know he's working. You know, if I knew the end, I wouldn't be so happy right now. It would really blow my mind. It's blown enough right now. But anyway, the grandparents even retired their Methodist church and came to New Orleans to help in the counseling. Everything in the ministry, it was big and beautiful. The facilities were great. And right after I had found out, everything was going good. I put my energies into building the chapel there. Just a small, beautiful, serene chapel, red and white, black wrought iron, nothing like you would have in Texas. But anyway, God, brought everybody there. And then on November the 1st, well, October 31st, really, I found out that it was still, you know, going on. I had thought it stopped. I didn't understand it. I was so frustrated. I know what heartache is. I know where you are, some of you. You know, I've been in churches where I've looked around and I've seen the pastor's wives sitting there hurting. You know, you just don't have many people when you're at that stage. So you sit there and you hurt. And you hurt. And I withdrew. I withdrew I had everything there I could possibly want. I had my two gorgeous daughters, their husbands, from beautiful Christian families. I had the grandparents whom had been led to the Lord in the early, earliest days of the ministry. I had everything, but yet so empty. Always planning things, doing things, trying to get things involved. I have a new set of golf clubs now. A lot of these preachers know all about golf. I don't. I live right on the golf course. I've been there twice. I've got these new clubs, you know. I live right on the lake. I don't fish. I have a swimming pool. I don't swim. You know, but I had everything in the world. That year, money came from everywhere. It looked like people buying success. And then it happened. I have to let you really know what really happened. On October 31st, 1976, I got my regular Sunday night telephone call. I was expecting an early arrival on Monday morning, you know. And it was a wonderful opportunity. had come along. I'd be late on Monday evening coming in. That was not had become very common that year. It's just unreal how God just went a step ahead of me all of the way, and I can't share everything with you. After that, alone in a lovely home, just after a beautiful day at church, trying to make it there, you know, but that's where you go to try to make it. The church is not for perfect people. It was for me, and I was not perfect. I needed badly. I hurt. But I had come home from church that day. And that night I went on into my room and picked up, and probably you've seen it, the red Bible with the lamp post on the side. And out fell a letter that gave me proof that it was continuing. And we had, you know, just been in all these marvelous, godly places, great people's church in Toronto, Canada. I had just come 2 or 3 weeks before that. Wonderful opportunity to serve the Lord. I remember that weekend so lonely, leaving New Orleans, flying first class, checking into a fancy hotel, having duck for dinner in my room, lonely, waited the night, the chartered plane didn't arrive until later that Sunday morning in time to pick me up to take me to the church. Just had been hurting so badly. All of these hurts were there. I didn't know what to do with them. I couldn't go to anybody but the Lord. He was the only one. And then, about midnight, the doorbell rang. Now, my daughter, and I don't ever remember Mitzi coming to, unless, you know, before she married at 12:30 at night, 12 o'clock at night. But Rhonda and Chuck came to my house. I don't know what for. They probably don't even remember that either. Said to her, Chuck said, I know. I've known. Can you believe the heartache that young man has gone through? I don't know what Chuck did the next day at work. I was not there. I will not. But I know he did talk to Mitzi and her husband, and yes, I think he knew, but Mitzi was her father's public relations girl then. And, you know, you never know what you're doing right when you're just grasping for every little... That's okay. That you're seeking, aren't you? You're seeking as you hurt. It's okay. Don't you know the hurt that our Lord had? The rejection that he had? But when you identify yourself at the cross with him, he is sufficient. I had met him at the cross. He was sufficient. He is sufficient. And I know he's going to be just that simple. But anyway, I know we did the wrong thing here. You know, we made our plans. We played God all day long, you know, working things out. That night, we were going to have dinner at home. And instead of me going to the airport, Chuck went and told that we all knew. See, I couldn't have told it, really. It happened. God let it happen. I'm sure it was not his plan. No. It was not his plan. It was sin in my life as well.
You know, I learned from the very beginning of my commitment, sin is sin. There's no big ones there, no little ones, sin, sin. That's it. It's very simple. Sin, sin. Mine too. God loves me just like, you know, it's all those kids I teach every day. I'm supposed to break right now. I had planned, that's what my plans were. I had planned to break just for you to ask me some questions because I don't know where you are. I don't know what you think of me. See, God has protected me so much. Maybe I need to share. Do you have a question? If I could hear it, I'll repeat it. How can you be the best friend and the best relative to a person who is going through divorce? Well, I'm no authority. I've gone through my own divorce, and I know what people did for me. They listened. They loved. I've gone through divorce with Mitzi. I've told her a lot. She knows I love her, but I have not been there in Dallas to love her. You know, I see my failure here. I've loved her in New Orleans, you know, God's love is, you know, he does, distance is nothing with him. But I would say listen and love them. We can't mold them. God has to do that. And the quicker I learn that, the better it was for me. Is that okay? Listen in love? Any others? I haven't seen my dear, dear friend from New Orleans. Where is she? Is she here this morning? Where is Bonnie? She didn't get here. She probably... she's had enough of me, probably. But anyway, I have a dear, dear friend who's here with a tremendous story. You know, my story probably is because of who I was, who I am, really. But I know more. You have beautiful stories. If God has worked in your life, you have a story. It doesn't matter what if it's that, you know, bad, bad guide or the... or whatever, your story, if it glorifies the Lord, that's the only thing that's important. But I do have this response. Is there another question, Barbara?
I know perfectly because we were with you and we were both transitions to love.
That's all?
But I would like for you to share with this lady what I brought you to
this.
You said you were through, but you didn't allow that
root
of bitterness.
Oh, no, I'm not through, Barbara. Yes. Yes. Well, I really don't know how to do it, but it was God's word. I mean, are we supposed to have bitterness? Are we supposed to have hatred? Resentment? Are we supposed to have those things? I mean, it was. I didn't deal with that too much. Didn't have to, Barbara. But I did have to deal with forgiveness a lot. I had to forgive myself. It took me a while for God to really show me a lot of ugly things. But you know, it's just those simple, simple little truths. We have to forgive for God, you know, for God. Didn't He forgive us? I have a beautiful experience about forgiveness. It really started... Oh, my goodness, let me get... Are there any other questions before I get into this? Yes. There again. I don't think you can do it. You've just got to pray for that person. See, I did not have that experience because I was quite sufficient to take care of myself because I had had to do it so much, you know. But it surely was a vacancy there when I didn't know that he was on the end of the telephone. You know, that was tremendous. And I know what you're dealing with. I've seen, I have not dealt with that too much. And I don't have this huge ministry out helping everybody. You know, I don't have all those answers. I'm just, and I want to tell you where I am right now. But I've gone through all of forgiveness. It was back to the church now that helped me through it. I want you to know that on the weekend before I found out, November 1st of 1976, I had just, gone out as WMU director after 3 years. And of course, and they asked me, would I do Foreign Mission Week? Do you know that material did not come in until Friday before all this happened? And I was responsible for WMU Week, which was November the 28th. This happened November 1st. During a time from November 1st to December to November the 10th was sort of a, it was really a waiting room for me. I thought that was a beautiful expression. I don't know where I missed it, but I have until yesterday, the waiting room. For 10 days, I didn't know what was going on because everything outside looked normal, you know. The ministry was going on normal and all that. I didn't know what was going on in my daughter's lives and their husband's lives. I didn't know that. But I did have a responsibility. And that I've got it. I got all kind of goodies here, but, you know, I won't be able to show it. I wanted to really read. I wonder if I left it. Well, you know, I don't have a briefcase. I'm not all that professional. You know, this is the first time I've ever shared this. So you can understand. I've been in New Orleans 5 years, sort of hemmed in. It's sort of good out in the world, too. But it's good there, I want you to know. But anyway, it was celebrate with joy. And here I was in the bottom of the mire. Yet I was to lead ladies, celebrate with joy, praise, and all those beautiful things. And do you know that was the most wonderful experience those 10 days I've ever had in my life? As I tried, here I had the problem here, but I had the responsibility here, you know. So God's word is here, you know. Here's your, you know, all that frustration over there. As I go through planning, do you know every lady whom I called asked to have a part, said, oh, yes. I had already secured, you know, the foreign missionaries that we were to have and all of that. Every lady accepted like that. God had them already prepared. Do you know the week went through? Everything went off perfect. Can you believe it? I can because I know lots of other things he's done too, you know. So I can believe it went off just really wonderful. There were lots of hurts. By then, the girls' husbands had resigned from the ministry. Mitzin Bill were coming back to Dallas. No job, you know, those kind of things. I didn't know what was going on in their lives, but I knew God was sufficient to take care of it, whatever it was. Foreign Mission Week was over, so here I'm running again. Can't stop running, you know. Gotta find it. So I take off to Israel with the tailors. If I'd have thought about what was in the future, here I am today supporting myself solely on a school teacher's pay. Louisiana, you know our literacy, and you know all the bottom line pay. I didn't know, I just took, you know, the Lord led me there, and through that, He strengthened me as I walked through the Garden of Gethsemane, where I had only walked 3 years before with my family. And there was pleading, oh God, why? It wasn't bad to say why. I don't know the answer. Why? I'm not supposed to. But I've said why many times. And then I met all these people, you know. They didn't know. I thought everybody knew what had happened, you know. You don't know what's happened, I'm sure. God has protected the world from so much. Oh, he is a great protector. And see, God is my husband today. He's my protector. The power that is in me raised him from the dead. My hope is not in an earthly husband or children. My hope is in Jesus Christ and him alone. Him alone. I haven't gone to a counselor. I just have so much respect for them. I don't know all of these things that are going on. You know, I just have to take a day at a time and serve as I can. But it's always been Christian people there to help me when I needed them. The middle of the night, I'd be prostrate by my bed, just crying out. Where I'd call a prayer line, you know. When I'd tell them who I was, and I'd try to avoid it lots of times. Oh, people in all over the world have been praying for me. You know, you can sense the Spirit. You can sense it. You know it. But it's just tough, you know. But listen, the Lord is sufficient to carry you through. You don't have to question that one bit. But anyway, from this trip, you know, I came back home. I had already filed for legal separation. I should maybe mention that a little bit. It was November the 10th, 1976, about 10 o'clock in the morning. I got the call. I'm in love. I've been in love 2 years. You can live in the house. I'll give you one half of my salary, no royalties or anything. And a few other things. Devastated. What do you do? Sure, there's God. You know he's there, but you need your Christian friends. God went a step ahead of me all of the way. All of the way. I was helpless. Helpless before him. And he led me. Every instant, God, I went to my interim pastor at the time, who's one of your, everybody would know his name, and called him Precious, Precious. Why not call him the Levels? Joanne met me at the door. I don't know what she thought. I've never talked with her really about it, but she knew there was a hurt there. Landrum had just driven in from Nashville. He's president of our New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary, and he came from Wichita Falls for some probably who don't know him. In Virginia, you probably don't. My beautiful hostess. Beautiful. She said, I'm your servant, and I'm taking advantage of every bit of it. Virginia, thank you so much. Thank you. But anyway, he was there, the prayer, and he gave me some advice. And then there, I pick up the phone, and there's the Christian attorney on the line. I mean, these things don't happen. You get appointments with attorneys and things like that, you know. And I go talk. He says, no, Joyce, your husband, he is your husband. Let's wait. Let's wait. Then on Friday, I received a telephone call, and I was out of town. Had already gone run into another great man of God. You know, I know where it's at. First, it's in Jesus Christ, but Jesus has certainly used lots of beautiful people to have me here today. I want to thank you. I want to thank the world for it. I really do. But anyway, I went off running to be with these beautiful friends who had just been so precious to us in the Lord and in the ministry, and I would say sort of a father in the ministry. Then on Friday, I got a call of something that was going on in New Orleans, and I felt that was the time. And this is contrary to lots of people, but I know God led me through it. We were fixing to, I had just signed a mortgage at our house for $100,000 for the ministry to go into a big promotion. And $100,000 is a whole lot of money, let me tell you. Especially when I balance my checkbook now, you know. But anyway, it was a whole lot of money. And I knew what this, and it was God's money. And I felt that God had given the laws, you know, of Louisiana to protect me. So immediately I got a lawyer, you know, and he filed legal separation, those things. And it, how it hit the news, you know, there's something happening at the Harrington house. She's filed legal separation, is asking $5,000 a month. It's $5,000 a month would just blow your mind. So I don't know what all people thought. I don't know that, you know. But I do know that God is sufficient. He is. He is. Now I must tell you where I am right now. God again. We went 21 months. I was so thankful to have 21 months just me and the Lord. Just, of course, it's just us now, too, but I didn't have to go out and work. So here, you know, I had to do something to start, you know, preparing, going to typing school, going to bookkeeping school. Then, I'd been a school teacher, you know, I don't want to be a school teacher, not in those four walls, you know, and all those kids. And I've been out in the world, so exciting out there, you know, I know all these things that are going on in Christian work today, and now all I know is what I read in the Alabama Baptist, the Louisiana Message in Christianity Today and Sunday school lesson, you know. That's about all I get around to besides what I have to do. But anyway, God took care of me. I went on, got those 9 hours, renewed that teacher certificate, didn't want to teach at all. So on a Friday night, August the 19th, I think it was, a friend of mine who's been the Lord led into my life just has helped me through lots of this, these things that I would, you know, go through, would have bitterness and all that, and that I have really not had too much of dealing with. It's a forgiveness. But just simply, you must forgive, for He forgave you. Just go back and back. It's not what you can do. You can't forgive. He only forgives through you. You have to let Him do it. You can't do it. You have to let Him do it. But on that Friday night, you know, my friends, she works God too. You know, she pulls the strings. She do a lot of things. And, oh, so precious too. So, and she's a prophet. Now, I have not found my gift yet. I don't know what it is. But I'm going to find it. I like to serve. I sure did like to respond to from last night's message, if you were there. And on that Friday night, I was to meet this young widow, whom I would have lots in common with, you know, one of those meeting things, you know. And all that night, she said, "What are you doing now?" I said, "Nothing." She said, "You know, we have an opening at, I've got to make this quick. We've got an opening at my school." And I said, "I don't want to teach school." She said, "Well, it's really nice." And she's a beautiful Christian woman. And she's the kind in Louisiana now. And west we go, Louisiana, right at under the levee by the river. Now, west we go is across the Huey P. Long Bridge. I don't know if any of you have ever been across the Huey P. Long Bridge. It's this high bridge, very, very narrow. And it's 13 miles from my house. So 16, takes me 35 minutes to get there anyway. But here she is there, and she keeps telling me all these wonderful things about school. I said, I don't know anything about school. I hadn't been there in 10 years, but I've got these 9 hours now. Remember, that certificate's already renewed. And so, anyway, she keeps trying to say, "No, I don't want to teach school. I'm not divorced yet. I want to wait," and all these good things. You know, I had it all planned out. I call my mother the next morning, and she's called me every day, weekday. Well, let's say 5 days a week. She calls me every morning. Sometimes she doesn't have breakfast before 8 o'clock, you know, and Daddy gets mad, but I tell Daddy, that's her ministry, calling me to tell me that she loves me, and I tell her I love her. It's beautiful. I wish you could hear all of that. But anyway, I tell them, no, I don't want to teach school. But Mother says, now, Joyce, you've been praying that the Lord would give you a job. And I had. I didn't want to go out and fill out. I even took a course in how to fill out a resume. I have never filled it out yet, though. And so I'm asking God to give me a job. I don't want to knock on a door. I don't know what's out there. That world scares me. And so here it was falling in my hand. Then I call Rhonda and she tells me, she says, Mother, it looks like that's what the Lord wants you to do. So here it is, Saturday morning. You'll find I can talk faster. The kids at school know I can really go. And but anyway, 11 o'clock that Saturday morning, I call my friend who's an assistant principal now. She called the personnel manager. This is Saturday now, ladies. And she says, I filled the vacancy in reading. And at 12 o'clock, she called me back, you know, to tell me that. I said, oh, I can't. You know, my house is dirty. I don't have any new school clothes. You know, I'd always been used to getting kids ready for school. Somebody had to get ready for school. Well, I didn't have time to get ready for school because I had to be there Monday morning at 8 o'clock. Well, wouldn't you know, God gave me the greatest thing. I don't even leave home now until 11:15. I'm on a platoon system. Isn't that horrible for the children, but wonderful for me? Can you believe it? Here I am. I told my daughters, I said, if you saw what I taught in, you would lasso me and take me away. You would take me away. I wish you could hear some of the stories. I got to show you this, though. I've been teaching there now. Oh, I got to go back to my story and finish it. That was on, Monday. I checked in. I went to work before I even went to the personnel, manager. Didn't even know what my salary was. And that man told me, he said, how long did you teach in St. Bernard Parish? I said, 10 years, Alabama. Three, I think it was. You know, I can't even remember. But anyway, that's the Lord's business, giving me money, you know, and all this. So anyway, here he starts me. When I quit teaching school, I think it was about $8,000 a year. And here was this astronomical figure. I thought, now I thought it doesn't go make the budget too well. But anyway, here, and he said, and did you draw out your retirement? I said, uh-huh, yes. He said, well, you can pay it back with interest, you know. The Lord provided all that. Here I am starting back to teaching school, picked up right on a salary that, much better than I made, retirement. And here I am teaching school now. I've been teaching there 4 years. This is my fourth year. It's been tough. Unless you're there, you don't know what the world is. What these women are sending us today, they call children. You come in the classroom, you know it's a tough situation. But I have one prize group. Lord gives me that every year, it seems. And just a week ago, and this is how do I serve you now, Lord? You just serve him now. You know, it's that simple. You serve him now. I love the terminology, lifestyle evangelism. I think that is where evangelism really is. It's in your lifestyle. But this precious little girl, very bright child, came to school on a Monday morning, and she was just really out of it, and I just wrote her up a behavior report, and I won't go into, you probably don't know what that is, but anyway, we have lots of paperwork to do if we stay above the law, And I gave her the behavior report the next morning. She came by and she said, Mrs. Harrington, I'm so sorry. I got that behavior report and I'm going to make it very short. She said, I don't know why, but my mother and daddy are getting a divorce. I don't know why, Miss. I put my arms around her. The kids were busily reading. We went outside the door and I held that sixth grader. And she was hurting so badly. I couldn't stay out in that hall with her for 50 minutes while these kids were in there alone. I mean, after all, that's against the rules. So I shove her off to one of the ladies who works there, and I said, love her. She comes back to the room later, and I look up. She says, can't make it. My parents told me not to bring it to school, and I've disobeyed them. I said, that's okay, darling. I love you. I send her back. And here she goes about her way that day, and I'm just praying for her so much, you know. And then the evening, the next day comes, she said, "Miss Harrington, I want you to see me." So it's where it's at, people. She said, "Miss Harrington, I went home yesterday. You told me God could take care of this. I didn't know. I called a pastor. She didn't know. I said, okay, what is it?" She said, "He told me how to know Jesus." "Miss Harrington, I've got this tickle inside. I've got this tickle inside." And as she and I began to, that tickle, oh, it was the greatest tickle I've ever felt in my life. That tickle inside. That's what Jesus does to you. He gives you a tickle inside. I must tell you, though, I am. God has given me the home. I ask for it. He gave it to me. He says He would give us the desires of our hearts. And that was my heart, my home. It's used for Him daily. Whatever way, you just would not believe it how God did. Oh, you would. If you know Him, you would. How He takes care of that swimming pool. You know, I can't have that $90 a month service anymore. How far would that go in it? My salary. But anyway, God takes care of that with the kids in the neighborhood coming, cleaning it, using it. It's His. It's the Lord's. He'll take care of all those accidents if they happen and all that. My home is one where they can call me and say, "Oh, can we use it for a party?" Oh, yes. Many parties have been used there. Been there, I mean. Beautiful, you know, the boys on that side, Mitzi in the study and the utility bathroom and all of that. And the girls are on the girl side, you know. And the Lord gave me a home where it can be used. It's so functional. You know, He made it that way. And I just praise Him today that He will let me serve Him. That He's chosen me, really. He's chosen me. I was one of His, that He reached down. And it is my blessed privilege, and I rejoice. Yes, I give thanks in all things. I am very sorry to the world that this happened to me. But I do give thanks in it. Thank you.